Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to Christian Devotion Speak Up, the show where Christian leaders come on and share their saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and how He brought them to serve the kingdom in a big way. I'm your host, Scott McCausey, and I welcome you to stick around and hang out with us. We've got a great show planned just for you. So for the next 60 minutes, turn off the television, turn up your computer speakers, and get ready to learn about Christ through our guest testimony and our ministry. This is Christian Devotion. Speak up!
And I welcome you to the show. Powerful program planned for you, and I'm excited. Greg Bissonette is going to join us here in just a little bit with his powerful testimony. And I'm pretty excited. I neglected the fact to get this thing out to make sure I could try and feature the program on Blog Talk Radio until yesterday. Usually got to put that thing in like a week at least in advance, and I put it out there yesterday, and they picked right up on it. So I'm excited. If you're a new listener to Christian Devotion Speak Up, I'm glad to have you and hope you enjoy tonight's program. I'd also like to direct you to our website. We now are a .com, which I'm excited about. The new address is www.christiandevotionsspeakup.com. You can just go right to the .com. It'll take you to all our archive episodes. And speaking of archived episodes, if you missed last week's program, the beauty of our website is you can go and still listen to that show. Let me do this. Let's dive into a quick commercial break. We come back, have a fantastic interview with Greg Bissonette. Stay right here, folks. This is Scott McCausey with Christian Devotion. Speak up.
Social networking, on-demand programming, and media streaming have changed the way couples and kids relate, react, and worship. Can we keep family devotions in our loop? Faith and Family, a devotional pathway for families, brings mom and dad, sister and brother together for a small dose of God's Word and wisdom. Each devotion presents a story or situation dealing with a contemporary issue. Questions are included at the conclusion of each devotion to help start a discussion and encourage families to pray together. These short slices of personal testimonies offer instant inspiration and thoughtful reflection, making this book the perfect addition to any family. Faith and Family, a devotional pathway for families, published by Lighthouse Publishing of the Carolinas.
Welcome to Christian Devotion Speak Up. This is Scott McCausey, and tonight I have a world-class drummer. This guy has played with the likes of David Lee Roth, Stevie Vai, the Buddy Rich Band, Joe Satriani, Toto Santana, Ringo Starr. The list goes on. Greg Bissonette, welcome to Christian Devotion Speak Up.
Thank you very much, Scott. It's a great pleasure and honor to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad that you could join us. And as always is the case, we love to share testimonies to Christ. We're going to start at the beginning with your family, because it seems like you have a very strong family legacy growing up in the great state of Michigan, which is exactly where I'm at. Why don't you start by sharing about your dad, Bud, and your mom, Phyllis?
Oh, thank you, Scott. What part of Michigan are you in?
I am right in the middle of the state in St. John's, about an hour and a half from Detroit.
Great. Well, I grew up in Detroit until I was five, and then we moved to a suburb called Warren.
Oh, yes.
12 in the Quinder area there, Warren, by the Universal Mall is where we lived. And I've got a brother, Matt, who is 3 years younger than I am, and I've got a sister, Kathy, that's 3 years younger than I am. And my mom and dad, Bud and Phyllis, met in Detroit. I think my dad went to Eastern High School, and my mom went to Eastern High School. My mom was 2 years older,
okay.
But my mom was the vibraphonist in my dad's jazz band back in Detroit. And my aunt, my mom's sister, Carol, was the pianist. So my aunt played piano, my mom played vibraphone, and my dad played drum. And it was the Buddy Bissonette big band, and then it was the Bud Bissonette small group, but later my dad changed it from the Bud Bissonette quartet to the Buddy Blair band. And I said, Dad, why did you pick the name Blair?
Right.
But he said, well, Bissonette's so long, it's easier to remember. He went by the Buddy Blair band, and then he also, as a joke in high school, had Buddy Bissonette and his bouncing Bulgarian bean band. So it was all about just being fun and comedy and having fun. But, yeah, our parents were so musical. My sister was a little young, but when my brother and I was seven and my brother was five, and I have to tell you a story. My dad was playing downtown at a hotel. It might have been Roosevelt. I can't remember the name of this.
Okay.
Downtown Detroit. But my dad said, what is, on a break, he came out and said, what is all this? Hold on, what are all these girls doing here? And the manager said, Bud, the Beatles are staying here. I said, the Beatles? Oh, my kids love the Beatles. My wife and I love the Beatles. And he said in his, you know, outgoing people person way, any chance of getting me close to six tickets? Six tickets. The guy said, Bud, it's been sold out for 6 months. Olympia Hockey Arena, where they're at. But there's no way. He goes, but you're a good guy. Why don't you come back after you're done about 1 a.m. and I'll see what I can do. My dad went back, Scott, and he said, Bud, here you go. I got good news and bad news. Here's six tickets, but it's going to be $36 total, $6 per ticket. And he said, I got to go. We're bringing the kids to see the Beatles. And we saw the Beatles the next night at Olympia Hockey Arena.
Wow, how exciting. You guys had to have been blown away.
All I remember was sitting there, Scott, and watching the flash bulbs go off and the screams from the girls and thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, I'm in the room with the Beatles, you know. And I told Ringo that once. He said, oh, how old were you, 2? I said, no, I was 7. He said, oh, same thing.
What a great story. Now, I'd love for you to share about, or here's the question. Was your mom and dad living the life of Christ at this time? Did they bring you up in the knowledge of Christ? How did you learn about them?
They definitely did. My father was born and raised Catholic, and my mom was born and raised Methodist.
Okay.
My uncle was a Methodist minister. And when they got married in 1956, my father was pretty much excommunicated from the Catholic Church for wanting his brother to be the best man, and he couldn't be married in the Catholic Church. Well, they kind of met in the middle back then and raised us and became Lutheran. So I was raised in the Lutheran faith and went to, we kind of called it catechism. It was Luther's small catechism, but it was when Martin Luther broke away from the Catholic Church, it was his Luther's catechism that I was taught every Saturday, and then I was baptized when I was an infant, but then I went to catechism, the Saturday Bible study, pretty much, that was based around Martin Luther's catechism, and then I was confirmed and got my first Holy Communion when I was confirmed at, I believe, 12 years old.
Okay, okay.
And then I went down to Texas to go to music school, a really phenomenal music school called North Texas State University in Denton, Texas, about an hour north of Dallas. And that's when I started going to, I went to the Lutheran churches, but I also started going to a lot of non-denominational churches, and that's kind of where I am now. When my kids were born, we would always go to a Lutheran church, but to be honest, my kids said, Dad, do we have to go to the old people's Lutheran church? So we go to Calvary, which is Calvary Community Church here in Westlake Village where we live, and it's just the most youth-driven, I don't want to say youth-driven, it's a really fun place to have kids in church and be in church because you're singing every Sunday. I play in the band once in a while too, but you're doing, you know, Lincoln Brewster and Chris Tomlin, and it's a rocking church service where there's an amazing PA, and it's near Hollywood, so you've got the best of the sound mixers and the great sound system and the multimedia, and you go into the fifth grade class where my daughter goes, and there's a rock climbing wall, and they're singing, you know, really great, rock Christian songs like Chris Tomlin and Breton Brown and Lincoln Brewster, and then you go into the middle school group, and my son plays drums in there, and it's, again, rock songs, you know, that are not an organ and people singing very quietly, and, you know, and just, you know, not that we didn't have a contemporary worship service, but it wasn't as hip as the Calvary Church. And so, you know, my son's in there, and it's all middle schoolers, and next year he'll be in the high school group, and it's just way more, it's hipper. They go in there, and that's where their friends from public school go. So anyway, that's my kind of church background.
Yeah, well, and I want to back you up a little bit because I want to talk about when you were growing up and learning how to play drums. you told me, or you shared on your website, that you learned under Bob Yarbrough. Hopefully I didn't slaughter that name. And then, and then you became a proficient on the trumpet. Now, drums and trumpet, I don't see the correlation there, but tell us about learning music at a young age.
Yeah, well, when I was in fifth grade, as it is today in the public schools in this country, you are allowed to join band. And so I wanted to join band, but I was already playing drums, and my dad had a drum set at home. And in Michigan, as you know, not like California, we have basements, and you
Yes. Basement,
you know, instruments in the basement. Here's this, you know, underground, soundproof room.
Yes.
Like bricks. I try to describe it to people out here, because the garage bands, garages in Southern California are not soundproofed, and you can hear everybody practicing. That's why they call them garage bands. But I was already playing drums, and I loved Maynard Ferguson, who's my favorite trumpet player of all time, and I wanted to play drums for Maynard, and I got to through a lot of prayer. I prayed, I want to be Maynard's drummer someday, Lord. And I remember at 12 years old kneeling down at the side of the bed, please let me be Maynard's drummer. And out of college, I got to play in Maynard Ferguson's band, and my brother was his bass player before that. But I really loved Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass, and I loved trumpet. So when it came time to pick an instrument, I wanted to pick something that was melodic, read actual notes, as opposed to a drum set, read rhythms. And so I picked trumpet. And I kind of carried that along all through college. And then at college, I realized I can't keep both of these up. I'm a drummer first. And I kind of put trumpet, you know, on the back burner as far as taking lessons and really trying to be a professional trumpet player. I just put all my eggs in the drum basket.
Gotcha. Now, playing drums growing up here in Michigan, so I'm assuming you had a basement that was soundproof, because I have a son who you know, aspires to play drums a little bit, and he has the snare, and wow, when he goes to town on that, we have to put a limit on what time he can play until, unless he's downstairs.
Yeah, I always practice downstairs. I mean, what I would do is when my parents would say it was okay, if everyone was going to be out of the house for like an hour, but I was 14 years old, I would bring my drums up, and then we had back in 19, when was I? I'm 52, so I was 14, probably in 73. I would bring up my drums, and we had the big console stereo with the 8-track and the
Sure.
But it was a big console, and I could match the volume of my drums with that console stereo. And we had great neighbors. They never complained, but I kept all the band practices and my real drum practicing to the basement.
Oh, that's cool. Now, did you play drums in church growing up at all?
No, we never had drum set in the church when I was growing up.
Oh, okay.
I never saw a drum set in a church, so I moved to California in 1983.
Okay.
And even in Texas, north of Dallas, when I would go to church, and again, I went to mostly Lutheran churches, but we had pipe organ and choirs.
Yep.
And the whole contemporary church service thing really didn't kick in until the 80s, as far as I know.
Okay. And did you start touring with your dad when you were a teenager? Tell us about how you kind of got started almost semi-professionally and then moving into the professional realm.
Yeah, well, to me, the definition of a professional is when you're paid for what you do.
Okay.
I tell people in my drum clinics that I do, if you fix your neighbor's toilet and you do a great job, and they go, thanks a lot, Bob, and then he tells his neighbor about it, you fix that toilet, but then they tell another neighbor, all of a sudden you're in fixing everybody's toilet, $50, well, the first $50, you're a professional plumber.
That's right.
Same for drumming, you know, if you play for fun at a party, it's fun, but the minute they say, well, could you play at the school dance, and I remember playing at our school homecoming dance in the prom, and they gave our band, I don't know, $300 or $400, and we split that between everybody. That kind of marks your professionalism. And I remember the first professional gig I had, because I would sit in with my dad's band all around Detroit. He played everywhere from downtown Detroit to Warren and Sterling Heights and Flint and Grand Rapids. And he'd play regional gigs. He never went on a tour, like a U.S. tour, but we played kind of regional weddings and parties and, you know, things like that. So the first time, I think I was 14, and my dad said, hey, your mom and I are going on a week-long trip to Spain, and your grandma will be watching you, but your Uncle Chuck, my brother, is going to drive you next Friday night, because we've got a wedding. We're playing at the Birmingham Hilton, or whatever it was, and you're going to play drums and you're going to get $50. I'll give you the $50 right now. I'll give you $50. And I remember sitting in with his band, and that was the first pro gig I did, was sitting in, you know, for my dad's band.
How exciting. That's fantastic. Did you ever envision, as you're sitting there playing with your dad's band or wherever it might have been when you were younger, did you ever envision God would lead you on such a grand journey as the one you're on right now?
You know, Scott, I never envisioned it, but I have to say this, and it's not like a crystal ball, but I don't remember when I wasn't a Christian. I mean, I remember wanting to be a Lutheran pastor when I was a kid, and
okay.
having an altar in my bedroom, and, you know, having Bible verses written out, and I was an altar boy, you know, like an alkalite, we called it in the Lutheran church, where you'd light the candles and stuff, and I remember always having Jesus in my life. But I remember, since I was about 12 years old, knowing that I wanted to be a professional drummer. And I remember praying and mentioning specifics, like mentioning, Lord, I want to be the drummer in Maynard Ferguson's band. From the time I was about 15. And then after getting Maynard's band, I remember in my late teens and early 20s, praying, God, please help me not just be a jazz drummer with Maynard Ferguson's band, but get rock gigs. And I remember naming bands like, you know, Journey,
yeah,
and Genesis. And I remember, you know, praying specifically to play with Ringo. And it's not, you know, people go, oh, come on. That's how a lot of times I tell people, you know, I have a personal relationship with God and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I know for a fact, for me, the things I've prayed about, it doesn't like you can't not practice and just pray it at all. It happens, but if you're really into using the talents that God gives you, and knock, and it'll be open, the door will be answered.
That's right.
I've prayed a lot for things that I've gotten. I know it's not just my chance.
Yeah, amen. And God tells us to ask the questions. He tells us to come to Him and to, you know, tell me what I'm going to do. Give me that spiritual gift. And just like you mentioned, He did with you. And, you know, as those things had to have become into fruition once you moved to California, that had to have been just such a fantastic feeling as those prayers began to be answered, wasn't it?
I think about it every day. It just seems like a dream. Every step of the way from getting, you know, after graduating, I got a Bachelor of Music Education degree, and I thought if I don't make it playing, I love to teach. I'll teach school. I'll teach elementary, middle school, high school band, college. I actually teach percussion for Cal State Northridge, California State University Northridge, kind of part-time, but I love teaching. And so I'm about ready to launch in June my website, which is called the Greg Bissonette Drum School, where people from all over the world can take lessons with me online. And I just love to teach. And so I thought, I'll get a bachelor's in music education. And I really wanted to go to a college and get a four-year degree. But my prayers were that I could make it playing. Every day that goes by, it gets tougher to make it as a musician.
Yeah.
You know, I know we're on the internet now, but with the internet and free downloads and YouTube and iTunes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not as many records done with the Musicians Union anymore. They still are, but, you know, people are doing records in their house on Pro Tools and films and movies and things and jingles. Half the jingles out there are they using existing tracks. They're not using musicians as much as they used to. So it's getting tougher. But, Scott, when I moved to L.A. in 82, I was on my knees praying constantly, and I'd make these calls. I had my list of people I would call, and they'd say, oh, what were you doing before you moved to L.A.? Well, I was in Dallas when I went to North Texas. Oh, great school. What were you doing there? Well, I was doing jingles, playing drums on jingles and industrial shows, working 6 nights a week. Well, why'd you move to L.A.? There's a strike in L.A. now. You know, there was a lot more work in L.A. in the 60s than there was in the 70s.
Yeah.
A lot more work in the 80s than there was in the 90s. And in the 2000s, there's less work than there was in the 90s. But there's still work. There's still tours. There's still live drummers that are needed. And especially, thank God, churches. You know, I know a lot of people that make a good living playing as worship drummers in churches.
That's right. That's right. You know, I watched a YouTube video where you talked about your college days, and you would gather and share. I think you even mentioned that when you got into this group, you guys all kind of circled around, and then you began to share beats and rhythms. And if you didn't share, you were out. And then you shared that in 1982 you moved to L.A. You just mentioned that. You befriended all sorts of drummers and founded a club called the Woodland Hills Drum Club. Tell us about sharing talents, Greg, because it seems like even in college all the way through to becoming professional, you are more than willing to share this craft and making one another better.
Thank you, Scott. Well, all that came from people that I respect and love sharing with me. First of all, my parents, and then my band directors and the leaders of bands. Like, I started gigging professionally when I was about 14, and I was in there with, you know, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 70-year-olds.
Right.
Always, when you play 45 on, 15 off, and then that 15 off, you sit around and have dinner or just go out into the lobby of a hotel, and you'd talk to these people that were a lot older, and they always gave you advice, and I always wanted to return that bit of humanity back, because people always gave me their time, whether it was in lessons that I paid for or just getting together. And where I went to college, Scott, North Texas State in Dallas, were 100 debt in Texas, 125 other drum set players there. And the teachers were great, but one of the greatest things was just getting together with the other 124 drummers, and we all shared information. And I kind of took that out to L.A., and drummers, more than anybody else, more than guitar players, bass players, singers, piano players, there's kind of a community and a fraternity and a camaraderie with drummers, where they just share stuff. How'd you do that? What'd you do here? Tell me about this. Because we're usually the ones in the back that aren't the main songwriters, that are the guys kind of keeping the band together, counting the tunes off. And we started that Woodland Hills Drum Club with Mark Tranny, who played on one of my favorite albums, Gino Vannelli, Brother to Brother. He played in Jeff Lacall, the jazz group Jean-Luc Ponty, and Myron Grombacher, the drummer with the Pat Benatar band.
Wow.
Favorite band. And we kind of started this club with Terry Bozzio from Frank Zappa and Missing Persons and Dave Weckl with Chick Corea. And we just kind of, everybody was in the Woodland Hills Drum Club. You didn't need to live in the 91361 area code. You just needed a drummer that wanted to hang out and share ideas and go support each other at their gigs. And it wasn't an exclusive Christian group either. But, you know, you got to kind of, I don't know if you got it, but my philosophy and the advice I've gotten from pastors and worship leaders and other musicians that are Christians is, if you know, Jesus didn't just hang out with his disciples only. He hung out with everybody.
That's right.
The way to shine your light isn't just shining it in church and preaching to the choir. It's getting out there in situations where you're with non-believers and agnostics and atheists and people you can win over just by shining your light.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's fantastic. Well put. Reminds me of Proverbs 27:17 that talks about iron sharpening iron. You know, I've had different musicians on our show here, Greg, and one of the fun questions that I throw out there to them is, when you gather just with friends that are also musicians, do you ever jam, or do you just kind of hang out and have fun with one another?
Well, I missed the beginning of that.
When you get together with friends that are musicians, do you guys hang out, or do you actually break out the instruments and just jam together?
Oh, man, all the time. Last weekend, a buddy of mine called me, and his name is Richard Page, and he had a band called Pages, and he was one of the top session singers in L.A. for years.
Okay.
And Pages turned into a band called Mr. Mister, and they had two hits, Broken Wings, and Three Liaison from the Catholic Mass. And he called me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, my son James is having his birthday party. Want to come to the party? And would you be up for bringing your drums? And would you think your buddy Brett Tuggle, who plays with Fleetwood Mac, would you think he'd want to come and play keyboards and rhythm guitar and sing? So, and all the Page brothers are there. And we played music for about 4 hours. And that was our birthday party. I said, what does James want for his birthday? He said, he wants you to come and he wants to play double drums with you. I said, well, that's easy. That's cheap. I can do that. So we just played Beatles songs, Stones songs.
Oh, fun.
Mr. songs. And I have YouTube parties all the time where we go to parties at each other's houses. And all we need is a laptop and a Bose dock. And you plug in the Bose dock and some headphones. And you can have two or three drum sets, guitars, a microphone. And you go around the horn. And thanks to the Internet, thanks to YouTube, you can pick any song for free and put lyrics or rich
yes.
at the end of it. You could say ZZ Top Sharp Dressed Man, or you could say, you know, I Will Love You, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all, you know. And you can put any song you want on YouTube, and you can jam along, and it's instantaneous. So we do Stump the Band, you know, we go around, and musicians love to hang out and play music. Because before we did it for money and for a living, we did it for fun.
Oh, awesome. Awesome, because that shows where your passion is, too. Now, tell us about your big break in the summer of 1985 when you received a call from David Lee Roth.
Well, I didn't actually get the call from Dave. I got the call from his guitar player that he had chosen, Steve Vai. And Steve was probably the second person added to the band. The first was Billy Sheehan on bass, because Van Halen, when Dave was still in Van Halen, they used to open up for a band called Talus.
Yes.
Well, New York used to open up for Van Halen, and the leader of Talus, the bass player, was Billy Sheehan. So David Lee Roth got Billy Sheehan in the band first, and then Steve Vai, and then they went and auditioned drummers. And I was playing with Vinnie Vincent, who used to be in the band Kiss, and he was starting his own band, the Vinnie Vincent Invasion. And then he said, well, you're not really right for this band of mine, but, you know, David Lee Roth's auditioning guys, you should call Steve Vai. And I said, Steve Vai's in his band? He quit Van Halen, really? Yeah, he quit Van Halen, and he's starting his own band. So I called Steve, and Steve got me an audition, and I auditioned, and it was actually partly because I went to music school and learned to read music. I ended up saying, Steve, do you have any tunes that you guys have been rehearsing with,
yeah.
with the three of you? And I went to Steve's house and got cassettes and charted out about 30 songs, and I went to the audition the next day, and I knew these songs, and I got the gig, you know, and then that was the start of the David Lee Roth Band, and then we did the album Meet Him and Smile, and then my brother joined. We did Skyscraper with Billy, but then my brother joined, and then we did another album called A Little Ain't Enough, and I was with Dave from 85 to 91 or 92, seven, I think 92, like 7 years, and then my brother and I went on to join Joe Satriani's band, and then we started our own band, the Mustard Seeds, and we were big, big fans of this band, King's X, and King's X didn't say they were a Christian band, but they said they were a band of Christians. And then they started quoting Corinthians and stuff.
Sure.
And, man, you know, as soon as you start quoting the Bible, you know, you're going to be in the Christian market. You're not going to be
okay.
Civilians. You know, it's almost a kiss of death for a great pop rock band to start quoting Corinthians on the back of their album, because then all the Billboard and all the record labels and all, they're a Christian band. And then you're in the Christian market.
Right, right.
But King's X started saying, we're not a Christian band, but we're a band of Christians.
Oh, that's
Mustard,
awesome.
The Mustard Seeds, by our name, Christians knew we were a Christian band. But when the record came out, we didn't only play on Christian record stations, record labels, and you know, record radio stations. You know, it's a tough call. Either you're kind of a secular band or you're a Christian band. But look at U2, In the Name of Love.
Yeah.
Comes In the Name of Love. And they're... I got to think that U2 is a band of Christian guys, I think. I mean, I don't know that much about them, but I don't know. That's a whole other topic.
Did you ever get stressed out playing with some of these greats at these gigantic venues? Or can you remember maybe a specific time that you looked around and said, oh, my goodness, look at all the people?
Yeah, I do every single time I play at a festival.
Really?
With Ringo, we played at Boss Pop. I get to be the drummer for the comedy band. I wasn't in the original band. I'm too young. No, I'm only 52. I could have been. In 1984, a hilarious movie came out about a satire about rock and roll.
Yes.
A documentary called Spinal Tap.
Yes.
And since 97 or so, I've been the drummer in Spinal Tap. We played for 80,000 people at the global warming, you know, I don't know, I don't really believe in global warming, but played at the big global warming thing at Wembley Stadium, 80,000 people. The opening band was Genesis, and then it was the Foo Fighters, the Chili Peppers, Spinal Tap, Metallica, Madonna.
Wow.
Which is this huge festival, and you get up at Wembley Stadium, 80,000 people, and you're going, wow. When I hit my snare drum, people are jumping. When I hit my bass drum, people are jumping. It's a pretty amazing rush, you know?
Yeah, I bet it would be. I mean, I can't even imagine. You know, at the beginning of this program, I mentioned some big names, and I'm sure I missed some. But are there any folks that you played with? It was just an absolute honor to be part of that band and to play music with them.
You know, James Taylor is one that I played the 4th of July a few years ago with James Taylor. And John Williams, one of my favorite composers that did all the Star Wars stuff. And,
oh, sure.
And Joe and everything. He's conducting the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra, which is mostly made up of musicians from the L.A. Philharmonic. And he's conducting the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra. James Taylor's up there singing and playing acoustic guitar, doing Fire and Rain, Going to Carolina in My Mind, you know, whenever I see you smile and things, all these great.
Yes, yes.
I'm a huge James Taylor fan. And Jimmy Johnson, one of my favorite bass players, is playing. Larry Golding's a great piano player. It's just an awesome band. And I'm up there at the Hollywood Bowl where the Beatles played. And I had, when I was a kid, I had Beatles live at the Hollywood Bowl. And I'm just looking. It's a beautiful 4th of July. Not a cloud in the sky. The fireworks. Playing at the Hollywood Bowl with James Taylor, and I'm just going, I'm just looking up at the sky, looking at the people going, thank you, Lord, for letting me get to do this, you know. And there's so many of those moments that I have. I mean, I thank God every day, not that I don't love Michigan and my roots, but,
yes,
you know, I'm sitting here right now. I pulled my car over because I vowed on New Year's that I wouldn't drive. And even with my Bose in-ears and my iPhone, I'm not going to drive and talk on the phone. So I was doing the Ringo photo shoot in Santa Monica with this amazing photographer, Rob Shanahan, and I parked. It was in Venice. So I parked right. I'm looking at the ocean. There's not a cloud in the sky. I can look in my little thing. It says 64 degrees right now, and it's April 11th. There's not a cloud in the sky. I'm looking at palm trees. I'm looking at the waves coming in the sand, and I'm going, thank you, God, for letting me live. I always dreamed of living near the beach in Southern California. I don't live too far away. I live in Westlake Village, where my church, Calvary, is. And I'm looking at the ocean just going, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
For letting me support myself and my family, playing the drums and living in this paradise. You know?
That's awesome. And we do need to be thankful to God with the opportunities he gives us. And let me just say, just in case you're missing the great state of Michigan, we're about 40 today. It's nice and bitter cold. Supposed to get in the 30s tonight. So, again, now you can be double thankful.
Oh, man. You don't want to know what I'm doing this weekend.
You're probably right.
So we're having some rain tomorrow night, so that means snow an hour and a half from here at the mountains. So
gotcha.
So that makes it a double-edged sword. I get to look at the beach. But I have to tell you one thing about L.A., Scott. I thought when I was in Michigan, when I moved to L.A., that the Hollywood sign was near the ocean, and that you could swim. Man, this water is freezing, and the Hollywood sign is 45 minutes from the ocean.
Oh, wow.
So it's not, you know, it's not like it's Florida.
Yeah.
Where everyone from Michigan goes on vacation, and you can go in the water's 80, you know.
Right, absolutely. Well, my sister moved out there for that very reason. She lives out by Laguna Beach, and she loves it, and she'll probably never move back to Michigan. Well, you know, I watched a teaching video of you, Greg, where you shared that you never played a genre or type of music you didn't like. However, there were lyrics in some of these songs that you didn't care for. Tell me about this in lieu of your belief in Christ.
That is a very tough thing. You know, you don't often get to, I mean, I make a living playing drums, Scott. And
right.
I'll tell you this. I have been asked to do some tours in the last, let's say 5 years. I'm not going to say the names of these bands.
Right.
I've been asked to do two tours, specifically two tours with bands that I've never played with. I've never jammed with these guys, but I've been asked, would you want to join this band?
Right.
And I go, wow, I love the drumming. It's really intense, double bass, power, metal drumming. I love it. And then I go on that particular band. What about both of these bands, lyrics.com? Because one of the bands, I couldn't even understand what they were saying. It was like Cookie Monster vocals. I went online, and these Cookie Monster vocals were deciphered, and I said, no way, ever look myself in the mirror, look my kids in the eye, look God in the eye someday. No way. And I could have retired. I put myself, my kids through USC, 50 grand a year.
Yeah.
Tired. But no way could I be in these bands, because lyrically, it was so dark and demonic and just horrible. I mean, the stuff, the sex, the drugs, the demon stuff, the anti-God stuff, these bands talked about, no way could I ever do that. But, you know, sometimes I'll play on albums, and I won't really know all the lyrics, because a lot of times, the first thing they put down is a rhythm track.
Right.
Drums and bass and guitar. And unfortunately, you know, I make a living playing on albums through the union here, and you, or a movie. And I could play a drum track in a movie, and I don't really know what that movie's rated. For instance, I played on a movie that had some other title, and then it was later, the movie came out, and I made quite a good amount of money with royalties and stuff, and the movie was American Pie.
Mm.
The American Pie later, and I went, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, but, you know, my name isn't associated with that movie, but yet I did lend my services to that movie, and it's kind of like, oh, man, you know. You don't always know what's going on, you know, ahead of time, but at the same time, you know, I do make a living playing drums, and so it's a really hard call.
Yeah, that has got to be something that you struggle with personally. You know, at the beginning we were talking about how important prayer is, and you and I even prayed before the program started. So I'm assuming and generalizing here that that is something that you're probably constantly talking about the good Lord about.
Yep, constantly. I'm always in conversation with God about what to do and how to proceed,
absolutely,
how to raise my children.
Yes.
The hardest but most fulfilling job in the world, and the job I love the most. But, you know, I read an awful lot of James Dobson, and we live in a tough time right now.
We do. Now, this is a fun question that I thought I'd throw out. I was thinking about this, and since you're a drummer, there's a song that is played over Christmas that everybody knows called The Little Drummer Boy. And this song embodies a boy who gives his all to play his best for the Christ child. Someday, we're all going to have that chance to stand before Christ. What song would you play for King Jesus?
Wow. Well, probably the song that was sung at both of my parents' funerals. My mom passed in 2006 and my dad passed in 2008. And my sister-in-law, Sharia, who's a worship leader, my brother, Matt's wife,
mm-hmm,
and my sister and I, and everyone that was at both funerals, we sang Amazing Grace. And even at Easter dinner at my house the other day, we sang Amazing Grace, and for some reason, that song, I'd love to put a drum groove on that. For King Jesus.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Sorry, I had to throw that one at you. It was probably a tough one right on the spot for you.
Well, you know, or a little drummer boy, I got to tell you, having an 11-year-old daughter, it's about the JB man right now.
Yes.
I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. Not James Brown, but Justin Bieber.
Right.
And he does a pretty amazing version of Little Drummer Boy on his Christmas album. And he, I think, plays drums on it. I saw the Justin Bieber show in Mexico City. My friend, the drummer, was in. And I actually saw them wheel out Justin Bieber's drum riser. And he played a killing drum groove, and that's the same drum groove he plays on Little Drummer Boy. That might be the one to play right there.
Hey, I tell you what, here's another question for you. Is there some up-and-comer, maybe somebody that you've been working with, that we should all set our eyes on to say, this guy's going to be good?
I think Cody Simpson. I do a lot of work for Disney and play a lot of Disney movies and Disney soundtracks and stuff.
Okay.
I know the name Cody Simpson's pretty big already, but he's going to get even bigger. He's a singer that you're going to be hearing a lot about Cody Simpson here in the next year, I think.
Okay. Hey, let's fast forward today. You know, we're talking a little bit about family. We talk about that a lot here on Christian Devotion Speak Up. Are your children musically inclined?
Yeah, they both prefer more than anything singing. They both have amazing voices. My daughter Mary, who's 11, and Noah, who's almost 14, they just love to sing, and we get in the car, and they are the DJs, and I only let them listen to the clean version. But I'm telling you, these days, you know what they said on the not-so-clean version by the clean version. You know?
Yes.
And, you know, I wish I could say I only let them listen to Christian radio, but I don't. They sing like you can't believe, man. My daughter can do, she's doing an adult song, not really in the deep, but she's doing the other one where she's playing piano and singing someone like you. She's doing that for
awesome, awesome.
Sounds like Adele. And my son sounds like Bruno Mars. It's scary. They love to sing first. My daughter loves to play piano and sing. My son loves to play guitar and sing. But they both are really good drummers. They both have faster feet than I do on double bass.
Oh, that's so cool. You know, I love listening to kids coming up using their gifts awesome in an awesome way, the gifts that God gives them. My sons are musically inclined, and it's fantastic listening to them play in bands and praising Jesus with their music. You know, and a friend of ours, Sarah and Stephanie Snyder, daughters of John Snyder, fantastic musically inclined folks. You ever get to play with Sarah and Stephanie?
Yeah, I got to play on their last album. My brother, Matt, produced their last two albums, the band Deer Park Avenue.
Yes.
I just love Sarah and Stephanie and John and Shireen so much, and they're an incredible family. I got to play double drums with Stephanie on the last album, and it was really, really fun. She is a great drummer and great singer and great songwriter, and Sarah is a great guitar player and a great singer and a great songwriter, and they're just wonderful Christian young ladies, man. I love Deer Park Avenue.
Yeah, they're awesome. Now, Greg, you mentioned right before we came on that you have this thing coming up. I think you said it was in Buffalo, this Christian music group that you're going to be part of. Maybe you could share a little bit about that, because I thought that was pretty cool, the news you shared.
Sure. Well, it's called Christian Musician Summit, and I do a couple of them every year. They're big conventions set in major cities in the U.S., and worship leaders from all over the world converge on that city, and for a weekend, they give seminars from the pros, whether it's songwriting seminars from Brenton Brown or Lincoln Brewster or Chris Tomlin, to drum seminars, bass seminars from guys like Norm Stockton, Lincoln Brewster's bass player, great solo artist, keyboard seminars, Abraham Laborio, one of my favorite bass players, and he's pretty much like a pastor to me. He's an incredible bass player and a really amazing man. And then you'll have a concert. There'll be like a Lincoln Brewster or a Brenton Brown or Israel Houghton or somebody playing a concert each night. But it's a weekend filled with seminars, and the record labels are all there. All the big Christian record labels are there. Big, huge worship leaders are there that do huge, these mega churches all over the country. And so I get to go and teach. My titles are usually musical drumming, how to play, you know, in a worship band and be the best worship drummer you can be, but how to survive as a Christian drummer in a secular world, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Basically, these things are called Christian Musician Summit, and there's one going on in Buffalo, New York, and I don't have my calendar in front of me, but I think it's May 4th.
Okay.
I'll be there May 5th, I think, May 4th or 5th, and it's in Buffalo, New York, and the guy that runs it, his dad is a retired Lutheran pastor. His name is Matt Keyes, K-E-E-S, and you can go on Christian Musician Summit and Google it, and they also work hand-in-hand, Bruce Adolf, who does Christian Musician Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky and fortunate enough to be on the cover of that the month after one of my favorite politicians and radio hosts and bass players, Mike Huckabee, was on the cover.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so it's just a great organization, Christian Musician Magazine and Christian Musician Summit for the workshops.
Oh, that's cool. Now, you have, I'm assuming you're going to be traveling again this summer with Ringo Starr All-Stars. Is that true?
Yeah. Our tour kicks off in Niagara Falls, Canada, June 14th, and then it ends up at the Greek Theater here in L.A. My kids will be with me, and my sister will be there. It'll be June 21st at the Greek Theater. And we're playing the famous Ryman Theater in Nashville on Ringo's birthday.
Wow.
Nashville on July 7th. Ringo's 72nd birthday, and he's in such amazing shape. He has ripped abs and is in the shape of a 30-year-old, healthy, amazing shape guy,
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is exciting. And I have to ask this, are you going to be in Michigan?
I wish we were playing Michigan this year. I was hoping for Pine Knob or you know, even the casinos in Windsor, but we're not playing Michigan. I'm so bummed.
I'm bummed too.
We're playing Indiana. I know.
Okay. All right. Well, I might have to look that up and mark my calendar because I got to come shake your hand.
Oh, I'd love to shake your hand, Scott.
That'd be fantastic. Well, what else is coming up for you, Greg? Maybe a teaching place you're going to be that we could advertise for you here tonight on Speak Up?
Oh, thank you. You know, it's pretty much recording session work in town. And the best thing you could do advertising for me would be I've been putting a lot of time and energy. I'm going to an awesome studio out in Camarillo, which is kind of near Santa Barbara. I go there once a week, and I've been filming for the last year to, in June, release my website. It's an online teaching drum school called Greg Bissonette drumschool.com, GregBissonette, drumschool.com.
Okay.
If you could help me promote that, it's a monthly fee, and you sign up and you get all the lessons, and it's online drum teaching, and it's really going to be a thing where we go through all styles. We have five basic categories: rock, jazz, Latin, R&B, funk, funky kind of drumming, and,
sure,
and world beat music, and that could be reggae or calypso or Icelandic folk songs or the candombe from Uruguay, or, you know, it's all world beat, but it's all styles and drum fills and solo ideas. There's all kinds of tips about how to make it in the music business. And anyway, it's called Greg Bissonette drumschool.com, and that opens up in the beginning of June. So if you could help me, Scott, with promoting that, that would be amazing.
I will throw it out to our listeners, folks. If you're out there right now, you need to check this out. And as a matter of fact, I have watched some of the videos, and I'm not a drummer, mind you, of Greg doing his thing, and he has a lot to offer. Not only that, you're going to get it from a man of God. Greg, thank you for coming on Christian Devotion Speak Up, sharing your passion for Christ and your passion for music.
Oh, what an honor, Scott, getting to talk about Jesus without worrying if people are going to be offended by what you're talking about. What a great honor. I got to do a festival a couple of years ago called Drummers for Jesus, and that was another one of those things where you're just going, wow, I can say the J word. You can usually always say the G word, and, you know, you're not going to run into too much opposition when you say God, but if you mention the J word,
yeah,
in a lot of circles, it's like, shut down, pull the plug. It's an honor to be able to talk about my Savior on the air. Thank you so much.
No, I'm glad you could join us, and keep doing what you do out there, Greg.
Thanks so much, Scott. You too. Thanks for bringing this to the world.
Hey, God bless you.
God bless you too. Thank you.